your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, we are recapping Season 7, Episode 15 of Pretty Little Liars, called...
In the Eye Abides the Heart.
Okay, like, kind of a mouthful.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I'm like, we've been having kind of like short and sweet vibe kind of titles. And now they're like,
okay, here comes Shakespeare.
Oh, literally. Okay, I'm here like, comes oh Wordsworth. My God. I didn't know we had to do this in iambic pentameter. Okay, and just so you guys know, I know it's not an iambic pentameter. So I don't need you guys coming on.
Caroline
fake English
have,
major alert.
Can't have some people thinking that she would get that wrong.
I can't. You're right. Exactly. You
They'll take
it.
Her degree away.
Hey, you actually nailed it. Nailed it. I'm trying to decide. Well, guys, okay. So next week, I just want to put a few little teasers for announcements in this beginning part of the app because I never remember to do it at this part, and I don't know if everybody hears it at the end. So, few things.
Which, by the way, guys, you should be.
Which, by the way, I don't know why exactly I wouldn't hear it if I put it
That's
at the
kind
end.
That's kind of like time theft.
No, I agree, Phoebe. It's like, are you stealing from
so
work?
You guys are on the clock.
You guys are on the clock. Hello, you're road warriors. You don't just get to snooze at the wheel. You get to fall asleep at the freaking wheel.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway.
I'm going to have to talk to HR about this.
Yeah, no, for sure. So a few little fun updates. Guys, we're approaching September, which means we are approaching one of the main Pretty Little Liars holidays, if not the main Pretty Little Liars holiday, and that is Labor Day. And we have some exciting things that we are going to be doing on that day, including a special episode. I'm not going to tell you more about what that is, but yes, you heard me correctly. You're going to be getting more than your usual slate of episodes that week, okay? So Monday, Labor Day, tune in for an ep. Special, fun, especially if you've been here from the very beginning. Wink, wink. We're also going to be dropping our Halloween merch on Labor Day. Guys, I'm really excited about this merch collection.
Yeah, it's super cute.
I think it's really, really cute. It has a little nod to the Ghost Tour community, which speaking of, if you're not on the Patreon, we did talk about my Ghost Tour schedule and dates, and I am going to be posting that as well with the Halloween merch. So it sort of just goes hand in hand. That's perfect. The other thing I want to say is once we hit 17 episodes in season 7, our schedule is going to change a little bit because we want to squeeze every possible drop of this 15th anniversary Pretty Little Liars fall. Like, we want to get every last bit of it. So what we've decided to do is alternate every other week at that point on Thursdays. Tuesdays will stay as they are, but on Thursdays, one week you'll get a recap. And the next week, you'll get a punch bowl based on the topics you guys sent us in and said you wanted to hear us revisit. So we got a ton of submissions. We have truly so much to sift through and discuss and world build. So much lore to drop. So we're going to be kind of spacing out those episodes by revisiting old plot lines, doing things like that. And then once we finish the series, we are going to have some extra episodes that come in. And when I say extra, I mean extra freaking special before we wrap everything up. So we've got a jam-packed fall. We have other fun things that I'm just not quite ready to tell you about yet. But there's a lot that's coming. Phoebe, am I forgetting anything that we would want to, like, kind of prime and prep them for just right now?
No, I think that sounds Like everything for now.
Like everything for now. Don't get greedy. Don't get greedy. As who says in this episode? Someone said it to Emily, keeps them from being greedy or something. I think it was like a Moe's Alley moment. Who freaking knows?
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm making it up. But anyway, hopefully that's enough to whet your freaking appetite. Okay, we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up, but I just want to let you know that that is kind of the cadence we'll be going into once we hit episode 17. So you can start prepping yourself for that. But you're not going to want to miss the Punch Bowl episodes. It's not like, it's not going to be like a lame-o week.
They're going to be like extra episodes of the show.
Yeah, it'll probably be like, it might even be more fun than whatever this is we're about to do here.
Listen, if you guys just need to like dip your toe in the water to understand how enjoyable this will be for you, just go ahead and spend the $5 for the Memoly episode and you'll be sold.
Yeah. If you're not sure, like, do I care about these Punch Bowl episodes? We have an entire Patreon Punch Bowl episode about the sordid past of Melissa Hastings and Emily Fields. And if you're like, what are you talking about? Then you didn't get the memo and you need to go make $5 quick. You need to go find $5 as fast as you can and give it to us so we can let you in on that lore. Oh my God. It's called Reading Between the Freaking Lines. Anywho. So yeah, I just wanted to put that there. And one last thing, can you guys please go give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? It really helps us out. It really helps us out. It really helps us out. All right. I think that's it.
You got the recap.
Oh, great. More of me. Everyone's favorite. Okay, so it's actually a really quick recap today. If you'll remember last episode, Aria met up with Sydney Wyatta Driscoll or whatever her name is. And she basically has learned that Sydney, yes, is part of the A-team, but there is a head honcho that Sydney's reporting to. And Aria is low-key willing to throw all her friends under the bus, leave them all out to dry to get her what?
Aria. Just Aria this whole episode.
Oh, Phoebe made this crazy face. I was like, she just got a text, and she cannot wait to tell me what it says. And it was just about what I'm saying, which is crazy enough for that reaction. But anyway, Aria's willing to leave her friends out to dry so that she can get out of this damn game. And it's like, girl, we're 7 seasons in. If you were going to do this, it needed to be season 1. Hannah visits P.T. Cruiser because she and Spencer are out looking for Mary Drake, and she just stumbles upon him, Pastor Ted. And it turns out that he is housing Mary Drake secretly, lies to Hannah's freaking face about it, and then goes and finds Hannah
illegal.
Later. That's actually illegal. And in the eyes of God, frowned upon, I would say. That's illegal in church and state. Thanks. but so he finds Hannah later and he says, oh, sorry. I was hiding a fugitive because I found out, well, she's my baby mama. We have a kid together. That kid's name is Charlotte and she's a dead woman. So we end up finding this photo of Pastor Ted working at this like youth camp for boys. Charles is in the photo, and so is one Lucas Gottesman, whose house, yeah, you guessed it, Hannah Marin is currently sleeping in. I would be shaking in my freaking boots. The game skips Aria's turn. It goes back to Hannah. I was already at Hannah, so the girls are kind of like at each other's throats, and everyone's a little bit like scratching their head about Aria, and Phoebe and I are like, finally. Spencer and Floozy are getting hot and heavy, but he does seem to be getting a bit suspicious. Nicole, Ezra's former flame, has shown up at the loft. No, it is not a ghost. It's giving. She shows up at the loft a la Gladys in Weapons. Like, that is the same
almost.
Impact when Aria, like, has the jump scare moment. Anyway, she's there. To quote our favorite movie, Freaky Friday, she doesn't really know which way's up. She's just sort of bumbling around. And Ezra is still bopping around. And Ezra is still indebted to her. And finally, and last but for sure not least, Allison's having Emily's freaking baby. okay, Mike.
I love
Rob.
The way they talk about it in this episode, like coming up the way that it just like as soon as they confirm that it's Emily's and Allie's DNA in there, the way they are Emily's the only person that acknowledges that like a man did have to play some sort of role in this because everybody else is like, Allison's
everyone's
having
like, and
your
that's
baby.
Beside the point.
Allison's having your baby. Like, they're talking about it like Emily impregnated Allie.
They're talking about it like Allie is a surrogate for like Emily's baby. You know, it's which I guess, I don't know. So we begin. We've got Allison and Emily at the dealer in Dungeon, and we got baby fever. We're talking about what the heck are we going to do with this baby.
I wouldn't describe how they feel as baby fever. But
you're right, sorry. Hannah Marin is baby fever in this episode, which seems ill-timed, I have to say.
And I think Hannah, guys, I think Hannah thinks that she's maybe the only person in the United States of America whose mom took pictures of her as a kid.
Yes, for we'll sure.
There. But I'm for glad sure. that you clocked that line was weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, Allie asks Emily, she's like, okay, what do you want me to do? It's like, whoa.
I know. Emily's like, well, it's not really up to me. I mean, if I'm Allie, I'm like, you're right. You're right,
listen,
it's up to me.
I feel the same way. Like, I know throughout this whole episode, people are trying to make Emily feel better, and I understand why this is hard for Emily, too. But it's not harder for Emily than it is for Allie.
No. And
there's this idea that it's equally their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, it's not. Emily isn't carrying a baby.
I know. And of course, like, there's this extra complicated layer being that, you know, all of Emily's eggs were stolen. And so it's like, I'm sure in this moment, Emily believes like this is her last opportunity. But it might not be. And also, like, it's so interesting to see this conflict or conversation between two women, because it's like they both, typically it's like the woman is the one who gets to decide because she's the one who's carrying the baby. And so now it's like, although Emily probably feels that same, like, well, it's my egg, it's my baby, it is Allison's body. And like, she has to agree to basically go to war every day for 9 months to deliver a baby that absolutely was conceived out of trauma. And like, she asks Emily how Emily feels, and Emily says she feels angry and violated, which is absolutely fair. And I would feel the exact same way. If Emily's feeling that way, I cannot imagine how Allie is feeling.
Right.
She underwent an incredibly invasive procedure, and the fact that she unbeknownst to her. And the fact that, yeah, thank you for reminding me, Emily, or everybody, there is a man involved here, and I don't know who the fuck it is. So not only am I like, what the fuck is, like, it's a moment of what is inside me, you know? Am I growing the actual Antichrist? Like, I
Emily
don't know.
Emily goes into, like, immediate, like, Maury. She's like, okay, well, I want to test. Okay, well, let's prove it.
She's like, you know what? You know, before I'm shelling out all this cash and advice and maternal instincts on you, and like, before I'm doting on you like this, Allie, is it even my freaking kid? she's like, get a blood test, get a freaking maternity test. Call me if I'm a father. She walks out. She's literally like.
So then we go to this alley. I'm like, Aria, did A send you here, or did you, like, now that you're on the A team, this is what you envisioned being A looked like, so you had to find like the most weird little place for you to go hide to really immerse yourself in the world of not being part of the A team.
She must be method. Are we fully saying that she's part of the A team now?
I don't think Aria would say that, but I think AD would say that.
Wow. What do you think the girls would say?
And they'd say traitor. I think Hannah would say traitor.
I think we'd be saying traitor.
I think Spencer would be like Aria. And I think Emily would be like,
Emily would be like, oh my God, I can't be stressed like this. I'm expecting. Emily walks out. She's like, I can't have this sort of stress on me right now.
So Aria is behind a dumpster, and then she gets a phone call, and the call answers, and it's a deep fake of Aria.
Okay. And this is a pre-AI world, you guys. This is pre-deep fakes.
This is like right around the time I feel like we started hearing about deep fakes.
It's a reminder of truly how good and sophisticated AI has gotten, because this is jarring. This is horrifying. And I can't believe we don't even get one line of Aria saying, like, okay, that's not what I look like. You know, I can't believe we don't get one line of Aria, like,
Aria knows it's so
okay,
clear.
Kind of an unflattering mask. Like, what? Like, she's like, I don't know who you are. Who are you? And the person's like, I'm you. She's like, you look nothing like me. Did your stomach just growl crazy?
No, that was my mouth, and I'm glad you acknowledged it.
Well, I heard it super loud. I was like, whoa.
Great.
Okay.
Aria, this is what kills me. It's like Aria has essentially bought into this enough to be getting to be answering readily these phone calls.
Yeah.
And then she opens it and she's like, I will not hurt my friends.
As she's like actively hurting her friends.
AD goes, well, actually, you'll do as I say.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, we are gonna hurt your friends. that's like my whole thing. So A says, look, what I want is the end of the game, and I want to get there together. And if we don't, just so you know, Ezra's a document away from going to prison, and I will hurt your friends. So your choice. So it is like, I mean, Aria is now in a position with her back up against the wall, but let's be clear about who put her there. And it wasn't A, it was Aria. Yeah. So all the girls go to the brew. Emily's kind of filling them in on the clinic. They went to get the blood test this morning. Aria holds up the photo of Charles Lucas and P.T. Cruiser, and she's like, what does this mean?
Emily is fully, like, explaining what this morning at the clinic was like, and Aria is not listening to a word. She is just looking at this picture, interrupts Emily, and goes, okay, so what do we think this means?
Yeah. She's like, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, What is the meaning of this? And holds up the picture. And Hannah, again, like, this is so Hannah. She's like, don't keep Lucas's name out of your fucking dirty mouth, Aria.
Yeah, literally.
She's like, Lucas has nothing to do with this. I know it. And they're like, so anyway, they just completely, like, disregard that idea from Hannah. They think that Lucas potentially stayed in touch with Charles, and what if he bugged the loft? And it is like, yeah, that's my first concern. That's my,
like, remember? Yeah. Remember?
Holds up her arm.
Completely fine.
Do not forget. Suddenly there's gauze
back around it.
Do not forget the fire.
There hasn't been gauze on it for like months, and now she's realized that she can bring it back up again.
She's like, ow, ow, ow. Sorry. Whew, phantom burn. Oh, God. She's like, it's sort of like Harry Potter, like when Voldemort's near and a scar hurts. That's what's happening to me right now, just talking about Lucas bugging that place. I knew it. You remember the fire? The great fire?
Yeah. The great fire?
The great, my incident, my accident.
And so Emily wants Hannah to go look for like a trail in the apartment, because like if they did stay in touch or if he knew anything, there might be stuff laying around about that gives clues to their connections. Spencer is also in her own world, and that's why we know Sparia works, because she's like, I can't believe Mary was there 15 feet away the whole time and she couldn't even come out and say hello.
Yeah, you know, literally. Everyone is just completely in their own world right here. Like, everyone is sitting with their head in their hands like, I can't believe this is happening to me and me alone. I can't believe this is happening on an individual level to me. Like, it's so, except for Hannah. Hannah's like, okay, so what am I supposed to do for you guys?
And then Aria's phone starts to buzz, and she, like, looks at the girls like, okay, she's out of, like, here.
So, time for you guys to go. She goes, wait, sorry, I just had the most, like, deplorable thought, but, like, I have to go there now. Aria goes, oh, my God, Hannah, did you just fart? She goes, okay, maybe let's all get out of here. Oh, my God, this is going to take me out. You guys go. I'm just going to go upstairs. And that's how she gets everyone to leave so fast. And Hannah's like, what the fuck? And Hannah just, like, goes with it. She's like, okay, like, what the fuck?
In Hannah's brain, she's like, everybody's always said that Allie was this monster, but it was always Aria.
It was always
made
Aria.
Me feel worse.
Hannah's
about
just like, I'm not going to clock this right now, but trust, we'll revisit. And that's what happened, you guys.
So Aria missed the FaceTime for
that. That is so Aria. Like, you know.
This thing that just didn't happen.
Yeah, this thing I just made up. No, but I'm like, she is the friend that, like, if someone did something embarrassing, like if someone farted or whatever, she's like, oh my God,
oh my
Phoebe.
God.
Phoebe just farted. Oh my God. And she says it, like, in front of your crush.
She immediately tweets it.
Yeah, she says it in front of every, she goes live. She's like, oh my God, guys, it's still going. Can you hear it?
Right? Oh my God, I was watching this TikTok came up on my For You page of, like, a walkthrough of, like, a Madame Tussauds, like, I don't know. It wasn't really related to anything that I've been looking at, but it came up anyway. So it's these girls walking through this museum, and the girl's filming, and you hear her go to her friend. She goes, should I, like, go on Facebook Live right now?
And her friend's like, yes.
Her friend goes, no. And the girl goes, no. It's just like, I mean, I know no one would watch. It's just like, it'll save there. And it's like, okay, nice covering up
your trail.
The concept
of going on Facebook Live just to save
in
it.
In a Madame Tussauds.
It's giving when, like, your phone's out of storage and you have to take all your pictures on Snapchat.
On Snapchat.
Things like Snapchat caught on, so now you take them all on Facebook Live and you have to post them.
Anyway, that's Aria.
Let it become the safest place for Gen Z people to do that, you know?
That's probably true.
It's going to become the most private cloud.
It's just going to be like your aunt because, who you've, like, yeah, never met, and your grandfather watching.
She comments, like, beautiful, sweetie, and, like, that's, like, all it is. And it's, like, your most embarrassing shit. Anyway.
So we go to Rosewood PD, and Spencer is dropping off some gluten-free cupcakes, free of everything. I'm like, oh,
gluten-free,
okay.
Dairy-free, sugar-free,
hey,
fat-free, not interested.
Spencer, if we're dating and you're showing up to my place of work with a beautiful box of pastries,
they
better
have
be
sugar
full
in
of
them.
Everything.
Yeah, no, they better have sugar in them and dairy and fat and gluten. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Otherwise, get lost.
This reminds me of, which it's so funny because I come out of my bedroom one morning and he's out there baking. And I was like, oh my God, what are you baking? And he's like, oh, muffins. Would you like one? And I was like, yeah, I love muffins. And he goes, okay. And I was like, what flavor are they? And he goes, just muffin.
Okay, wait. Can I say something that's going to make Caroline want to die?
What?
That's kind of like my ideal.
No, Phoebe, I promise this isn't. Because he goes, it's just like a flavored like muffin, like protein. And I was like, so these were rock hard, Phoebe. These were like biscuit, like hard biscuit consistency. Just like in a muffin tin, like in the shape. Mm. They weren't like moist, sweet muffins. They were like rock hard, dry muffin flavored muffins with just like, I guess, unflavored protein powder or something. And I was like, you know what, Connor? Never bake for me again. Thank you. No, I don't want this fucking muffin.
That's crazy.
Sweet, man. Anyway.
So that's what Spencer's delivering to.
Yeah, Fluzy. She's just the protein muffin flavored muffins. So she's trying, Floozy's trying to reach Toby, who is currently with Caleb at the cabin. And Spencer is just trying to get info. She goes, so I understand you found a finger.
Spencer, we need to start playing a little cool.
Yeah, yeah. No, she doesn't. She unfortunately is about the finger? Unable to. Spencer? I know. And she's like, so, like, what do you think happened? It's like, again, it's not like you're having pillow talk right now. And he can,
you're
like, give you some
work.
Tea. You're literally there. Yeah.
And you're close to this case.
But what we end up finding out is that he's getting kind of hot on their scent. A nurse told him that Mary, Drake, and Emily had visited Allie the night that Rollins went missing. And there was, like, an altercation between Mary and Rollins. And so they're looking for Mary Drake as a suspect. They think maybe Mary killed Dunhill, but they're also like, sorry, Spencer, like, you're connected to these people. He doesn't say this in so many terms at this point, but that is what is implied.
Spencer's
here.
Smart enough to hear it.
But, like, and she is, and yet she doesn't just fucking drop it, you know?
And he asks her, like, did you know anything about Rollins? Did you know that, like, I was an officer. Did you know anything about, like, where this was going to be heading when we got our drink that one night, basically?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. And it's also a moment where I feel like, at this moment, he's trying to allow her to tell him what he already knows. Like, he's like, so, like, I don't know, do you think Mary Drake is involved? And she goes, well, I didn't know that he was dead when I asked you to look into Mary Drake. And he's like, that's right, you didn't. And it was almost like he was like kind of testing her to see if she would remember that, because she would only know he was dead if either she killed him or somebody had told her.
So you go to Ezra's loft. Arya's coming home and Ezra is on the phone with Nicole's dad and they want Ezra back.
Oh, my God. I just can't with this. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go run some errands. And as he goes, she's like, all right, see ya. As soon as the door is shut and five Mississippis have passed, she's like, what? And she, like, runs after the door. Like, she's like she just missed him. And I'm like, girl, you fully had your chance.
Stupid. And then, but then it's also very, like, the chickpea scene. Because it's like, as soon as Ezra leaves, she's like, oh, okay, let me put on my black hoodie and get on the horn.
And she gets a FaceTime from A. And A explains that rule number one, never send me to voicemail. The voice of this A. And for those of you who can't see, which is everybody, Phoebe just did the neck cutting motion accompanied with a sound effect that the Arya deepfake does to Arya. Mm-hmm. This is so, I mean, I'm sorry, if I'm Arya, there's no way I can't tell my girls about this. This is so funny.
Not exactly. It's like, not even because it's like, it's putting them in jeopardy. It's more so like, okay, A's a fucking loser.
I'm like, screenshotting. Okay. I'm like,
so
guys,
we're so scared of this.
Yeah, I'm like, don't kill me, but what the fuck?
Hannah's like, ah.
Yeah, Hannah's like, yes, I'm scared of
that.
It
looks just like you.
And Arya's like, I don't see the resemblance, Hannah. That's so rude. Anyway. So they're talking. A is asking Arya what Hannah and Spencer were doing when they left town, when they ended up finding Pastor Ted.
And Arya just fucking, like, sorry for my yawn. She just completely tells, like, it only takes one follow-up question from A for Arya to say everything.
Yeah, Arya's like, well, they were looking for Mary Drake, and they didn't find her. And so she lies for a second, and then she's like, well, they did find the place that she hid for a few days, and then they also talked to Charlotte's father. So it's like, so actually, they hit, like, a lot of bases.
Exactly. There. So we go to the teacher's lounge, and Emily is telling Paige loosely that, like, Allie's pregnant with Rollins' baby, which isn't true, but it's just enough to get Paige to understand why Allie's having such a hard time.
And Mose does, like, feel actually sorry for Allison. Yeah. And
well, now it's because she's like, I got the girl. I got the girl, so, like, so I won.
And I had kind of forgotten that. I've kind of forgot that they got together at the end of the last episode.
I feel like Emily did, too.
I know. I feel like Arya, Emily was like, wait, that wasn't, okay, but we weren't serious.
Paige grabs Emily's hand. She's like, oh, sorry. I have to go, actually.
Emily's like, ow!
It burns.
Yeah.
Ooh, your hands are so dry.
Your hands,
you cut me like
are
sandpaper.
Blistering hot and like shards of glass. Oh my God.
Why are they so sweaty?
How are they simultaneously so dry they're cutting my skin, but also so sweaty that it's like salt water in the wound? Anyway, Mo seems to understand why the girls are giving Allie so much attention and at this moment. And then Emily gets a call from Allison, and Allie says, "Congratulations. You're a mother."
It's almost like Allie's like now that she's pregnant, her pregnancy hormones could alert her to the fact that Emily was just talking to pigskin.
Yes,
so she's like in
yeah.
kind of a bad mood when she calls Emily.
Exactly.
Like, congratulations. Do you're it again.
Oh, you thought I did it well. Congratulations. You're a mother. She also is like, you know she's pissed because wouldn't you be just like hoping and praying it didn't come back that it was Emily so that you could just make your own choice?
Yes.
So I didn't have to like consider her at all.
Emily secretly like, yes.
I know. Emily, like, even if Allie finds out it's not Emily's, Emily's it's still Emily's. Like, well, but I've it's been Emily's. Here with you from the beginning. So I just feel like I lay claim to it.
Exactly. So we go to the barn and Spencer comes in and like, I guess the bed looks weird. And then the bed part isn't as weird to me. Obviously, like I wouldn't have clocked that.
It was not as obviously.
I would have immediately clocked the
wine glass.
The wine glass.
Yeah. Except for Spencer is a little alky these days. So who knows? Maybe
yeah.
she just forgot.
And she's laying claim to Emily too. Yeah. Later in the episode.
True. So then she sees there's a bottle of wine and the door is open.
Spencer's
and there's
like,
a note in it.
Man, I did not realize I finished that whole thing last night.
Yeah, she's like, thanks, let's hide that evidence. She's also like, oh, thank God, my preferred method of communication, message
with
in a
myself,
freaking
with
bottle.
My sober self. When, yeah, yeah. when I'm drunk at
this
night.
This is a Severance episode where it's Innie and Outie Mark talking to each other. It's Spencer at night, drunk and sex crazed, and then Spencer in the morning with her detective cap on. They're communicating.
Unfortunately, guys, that's not what it is. It's a note from Mary Drake that says, need to talk.
Please. Mary. Okay, we'll see. So Hannah is at the loft. Again, she is so cavalier right now. Like, do you know how free I would be scouring the place for cameras, but she's
also
looking
I mean,
for
that's
clues.
What makes Hannah is that
I know.
Like, she just
she doesn't
she
believe you would hurt
best
them. She sees the best.
Like,
yeah,
she,
100%.
She in her heart, she's like, I know it's not Lucas, so I'm not worried.
Yeah. It's going to take more than this to convince her. But it is like, I mean, I'm sorry. And I know this will hurt you, Phoebe. I know this will hurt you personally. But his track record isn't amazing.
Okay. You pushed someone off a boat one time in high school. And suddenly everybody's like,
and suddenly
oh
that's
my
your
gosh,
whole
you're
thing.
A little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you nailed it with that. Anyway, so it's Hannah and Emily. And they're talking about the baby. And Emily tells Hannah they're going to do whatever Allie wants to do. But I'm like, yeah, right, Emily.
Yeah. And I also, okay. I did like the line, and this is, I think, is a nice picture of their friendship, Emily and Hannah's, when Hannah's like, it's not Lucas. I know it's not Lucas. And Emily says, okay, then let's prove it. Like, you can believe that about Lucas right now, and I can make you think maybe I believe mm-hmm. that too. But then we still need to look so that we can prove it's not him.
Right. She's not going to shut her down immediately like Spencer or Arya would, but mm-hmm. she's also aware of what Spencer and Arya are going to ask and going to need to clear right. his name. So it's like, all right, I'll
exactly.
go here with you, but like, you gotta meet me halfway
Bingo.
With this.
And so,
oh, also, sign of the times, Emily's wearing the epic leather leggings, like the Spanx leather leggings that were
why
just.
Why did we do that to ourselves?
Why do I still have pairs of them? And like, I will still wear them.
And then you're.
But not this way.
No. So they find another box of comics and they pull them out and.
I thought you were about to say a box of condoms. And I was like, okay. And Hannah goes, holy shit, Lucas has been getting busy. Oh my God. Lucas has had sex. She's like horrified.
So they find a Superman comic and Hannah looks at the picture of baby Superman on it and she goes, I, as though she's looking at a picture of herself as a baby. She goes, I was such a cute baby.
I know. I thought, like, she was looking at a picture of herself. Emily's and like, I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
And Hannah goes, what? My mom has pictures.
She's like,
yeah.
She's everyone's like, sorry, I don't know pictures. If your mom wasn't really like the sentimental type. So I don't know if you have any pictures. And you weren't really like going to stuff. Like, I was going to like dance, like daddy daughter dances. Like, I was getting dressed. I was going shopping all the time. Like, that's Hannah's vibe. Also, wait, what was I just going to fucking say about the baby picture?
Well, she says that she's seeing Caleb's too.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I think we can make something really cute. And Emily goes, it's not lasagna, Han.
She's like, I know all about making a baby now, Hannah. And you're not acting like you know that. She's like, you're not acting with respect towards my situation. Okay. I'm with child.
I'm a mother.
I'm a mommy. Mamacita.
Oh my God.
That's what I am.
Okay. Another one that we can make is Hannah and Emily having this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or Allie and Moe's. Okay. Allie and Moe's having this combo.
And it's specifically the picture when Paige is like, that's also giving Gladys from Weapons over Allie.
Yeah,
sleeping.
Over her head.
That was crazy. Mommy.
Totally.
So they find in the back that there's something in an envelope that doesn't look like all the other stuff. So they pull that out, and it's a homemade comic that was done by Lucas and Charles.
Crazy. So we move back to the police station. Detective Floozy is talking to Allie, and he explains that he believes that Archer Dunhill, whatever his other name is, well, Elliot Rollins, was killed the day he left the hospital / the day the girls complained about his mistreatment of Allie. And she's like, okay. And for a while here, like, I think she's doing a pretty good job of, like, keeping up a poker face and lying. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and I think that his coat and his cards left town, but I don't think that he did. And she's like, well, why would they try to make you think he's alive if, like, that's the case? And he's like, well, that's...
He's like, she's like, why would they send you a finger if they're doing all this to make it seem like he's still alive? And he basically is like,
great question.
Thinking that there are more people involved, and typically the more people that are involved with a murder, the quicker one person, like, wants to get out of this.
Yeah. And Allie also, like, this is where she sort of starts to break. She's like, what do you think? They're like two people. He's like, or three or four. And he fully, like, it's just obvious that he's just waiting for one of them to crack. And then he offers her a cupcake. And she's like, I'm not fucking eating that.
These are from Spencer. I can tell.
I can smell that these are muffin protein flavored muffins.
I'm expecting.
Yeah. I'd be really careful what I put in my body. I'm not eating gluten-free.
Pickles and hard-boiled eggs, and that's about it.
And that's about it. Thanks. Anywho, Emily is now showing Aria. Emily and Hannah are showing Aria the comic book. And they love it. They think it's the best story. They're like, we need to get the film rights to this immediately. And you know,
like,
Ashley Benson
who?
And Shay Mitchell fucking hated filming this scene, because they're like, and then the hero is a boy who gets picked out at school by his family and meets an alien in the woods, and she becomes his protector. She's a freaking shapeshifter. It is awesome. It is rad. It's giving Big Brother when they have to, like, when they're like, and yes, we got to watch Bad Guys too, and they're talking about, like, what the plot of the movie is as a promo.
Except with Rachel, it was all legitimate excitement.
Yeah. She was like, my kids
she
would, love Bad Guys too.
When she
my favorite part
backyard,
was this.
When she went into the backyard and saw the, like, wolf character, yeah, and she truly has a reaction like Beyonce is in the backyard.
Yeah,
she is like, she's freaking
so
out. Anyway,
funny.
So basically, there are a lot of similarities between what they could kind of infer Lucas and Cece's relationship could have been like at camp. Is like,
yes,
Lucas is friends with Charles, but also knows Charlotte, like, how everything ends up going.
And also, sorry, in the comic book, the whole deal is that this alien, who we can imagine is Charlotte, gets payback and revenge for the boy, who is Lucas. So it's sort of like, oh, is this what has been happening? And does this mean that
Lucas
is AD?
In on it. And the craziest part of it is that one of the little pictures that they see looks like the, like, torture board from,
yeah,
the dollhouse.
And it says,
and,
like psychological torture. So it's,
yeah,
it's really,
none of,
like,
them
lining
really pointed
up
that part out. Like, to me, I would, like, shriek.
I know. It just rested,
like,
on it for, like,
just
one
another
second.
Another day in the life.
You could have missed it. But I think it's also crazy. They're, like, they're not just suggesting that he's part of this. They're suggesting that he is, like, the ringleader. That he, mm-hmm, this would mean that he is AD.
And then
and
I think they say,
Aria
is
Vesta.
Aria's like, oh,
well.
Okay, well, is he the father?
Yeah, she's like, well, you don't know who the father of your kid is. You're okay, what the fuck? She goes, well, you don't know who the father of Allie's kid is. And Hannah's like, no, Lucas is in love with me. Don't say that. Don't say that. I don't ever want to be with him, but I want the option. Thank you.
And I can't stomach the fact that actually the whole time it was Allie.
He's been in love with Allie. And Emily goes, don't bring that up to Allison. She's like, she will.
Allie's going to cut it out herself.
Yeah, she's like, don't say that.
So we go to the barn very quickly, and Spencer is writing a note to leave for Mary Drake. Then we go back to Arya's A-layer. The alley
the
behind
alley.
Someplace.
I literally think the alley behind the brew.
That's what I thought, but the guy who walks, it like looks like a diner in there.
Maybe he is like working in the back.
But anyway, she's there, and she calls AD, and AD is like, you're a good spy. Let's see how good of a thief you are, because AD can't believe that Arya didn't swipe the comic right then and there.
Yeah, and frankly, don't tell Spencer Hastings about this. Spencer would be like, are you seriously, you botched it that bad right away? You're just wasting time. And Arya's like, are you Lucas or what? And they say, would I tell you if I was? And so it's now she has to go. Yeah, literally. Now they have to go. It's just like when they would respond to the text in the beginning, be like, who is this?
AD goes like this. I just almost fell over. AD goes like this. And on AD's palm.
Phoebe's holding up her open palm, by the way.
And it says 214, but they don't elaborate on it. So Arya has to figure out what that means.
Exactly what that means.
Which I think is, no, I think it was 217, but that was like, remember when they had to find Jenna's motel room? And
no,
it was
it's
like
214, you're right.
Oh, that's got to be someone's birthday.
Well, 414 is someone's birthday.
Not what I said.
Okay, I agree.
Said
that's
214.
Well, it is Valentine's Day.
He's little Cupid. It's Cupid's B-Day.
Yeah. That's got to be someone's birthday. So Spencer is now hanging out with Emily. I can't tell if Emily is wasted or if she's asleep, because then we see her like another scene. I'm like, how are you getting from point A to point B? I saw Spencer like funneling wine down your mouth. You're like slurring your words, and now you're like showing up at Allie's house. I guess they're neighbors.
Yeah.
But still,
it is like,
she doesn't seem drunk when she's talking to Allie.
I'm also like, Allie, imagine, just put yourself in Allie's shoes for a second. You are pregnant using the fertilized eggs of your lifelong best friend, but didn't know that, unbeknownst to you. You are pregnant, so you can't drown your sorrows.
Right.
And then
she walks in.
The mother of your mother of the eggs inside of you walks
she has
in
red wine butthole mouth, and she reeks of red wine. Great.
And you're
great.
Like, yeah, that's awesome.
I would
love that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that would be a problem for me. That would be a problem. I'm always like, pregnant women who let their husbands drink, you're better women than me. I don't even really like drink.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Drinking that much. Like, I wouldn't even... That would be the easiest part of
Caroline,
being pregnant for me.
For
but, like, you don't get to.
For Caroline, it's like the Lucas and Hannah thing. Hannah's
yes.
Like, I really have no interest in Lucas, but the
but
second
if you
someone
even
else
think
is interested
about tasting a drop of alcohol, you're
no,
dead
no.
to me. You're dead freaking me. Yeah, exactly. And just so you all know, if I ever do decide to carry a child, Anthony will also be having a pregnancy stomach on every single day of his life. And
he's
that's
like
non-negotiable.
Schuster.
Yeah, like that's happening for sure. It's called
cramp,
equal playing field.
The cramp simulator.
Phoebe, I would love to find that. I would love to find that. Anthony just tried to get me to go skydiving, by the way, for his birthday. He like really, really wanted to do it. And I was like considering it. I first was like, hell no. And then I was like, I mean.
Then I was like, YOLO.
Sometimes I have a moment where I'm like, well, like, I guess this is what the antidepressants are for. Like, I mean, yeah, like, I could probably go up there and feel nothing. I saw this video the other day of this girl.
I could never.
No, I couldn't really. Like, in theory. I'm like, I could do it, but I would be a fucking freak.
I think I would literally go unconscious the second I left the plane.
I would be a freak. I also would be arrested upon hitting the ground, because whoever I'm flying with, because you can't just fly by yourself, they're now dead. Like, they're hurt. Like, something happened in the air. And no one really knows what, because I wrestled the camera out of his hand. I wrestled that GoPro out of his hand before he left the plane. And then no one sees anything. You just see red in the air. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, well, only one of us lives to tell the tale and never tell what happened. But, like, I hulked out, yes. I hulked out.
This episode is going to get flagged by skydiving companies.
No, literally,
they're
going to
be like, okay, never let her on.
Or we just booked the most epic brand sponsorship of all time. They're like, okay Phoebe fine. And Caroline are going skydiving together. Whoever comes out at the end gets to take the podcast.
You guys will pay us $1 million, I will skydive.
Okay, that's like
just
kind of fun.
Just skydiving companies in general.
Just skydiving companies in general, if you're listening. But we did think about it for a second, but I could go completely limp. What if something happened? Yeah. Okay. Imagine here are the two scenes, you guys. Let me lay this out for you. Okay, so Phoebe goes first, all right? And her person comes out, and like you expect to hear this big, like, you do. Before she leaves, she's like, no! No! You hear this like screaming. You're like, I didn't know she could make noise like that. You hear this like, oh my God, ruckus above. And then as soon as you see two bodies leave the plane, silence. There's complete and total silence. We hear nothing.
And four limbs
and we see,
somehow dangling.
It's as though a like dog, like a four-legged creature, is being helicopter carried through the air.
It's like when they have to move cows.
When they have
like
to,
when a cow is
exactly,
lost.
Exactly, Phoebe. Yes. When someone has to, and the person is just hanging and the limbs are just dangling and floating around in the air every which way.
Like when a little kid who's too light to go on one of those zip lines that like
yes.
takes you all around a building. So like, it ends up just like flinging them.
Their limbs
around.
Just go limp. Yeah. So that's the first one. And then everyone's like, okay, well, you know, Phoebe comes to on a bed of roses when she hits the ground and she doesn't remember any of it. And then they're like, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
Oh my God, that's a Tasmanian devil.
Then it starts raining blood. they're like, okay, it is raining blood. What is going on now? And you just hear like, you hear this like screaming.
We're getting stuck in every tree.
Yeah. There are like trees you didn't even know were there that were getting snagged on. Birds have like hit us in the face, like feathers everywhere.
But not only is it raining blood, but birds are also falling from the sky.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the feathers, you're like, what is the, oh my God, a bald eagle, not our nation's bird. Yes, of course. And then they're like, well, where is she? We heard the screaming stop. There's no one here.
You walk into the scene from the opposite direction from where all that ruckus was.
I ended up so far away. I ended up so far away. And then I come out of the woods covered in blood. And they're like, where's the instructor? And I'm like, what instructor? And I'm never the same after that.
Yeah, so let's not do that.
So that's how our difference got it. No, but I do think sometimes that I'm like, you know, the antidepressants would kick in. I saw this video the other day of this woman who she's like doing her hair and she takes it over coffee and then it just like shatters in her hand and she's like silent and she just looks at it at the ground for like however long. She's like looking at it and she's like and she just cleans it up. And people are like, oh my God, like you stayed so calm. And that is low key how I've been reacting to things like that. Like I'm just like, okay. Like I was actually hand washing a wine glass the other night and it shattered in my hand. I was just like, okay. And so that's how I know that like the meds are doing what they're supposed to do. Because in another world,
right,
it would have gone different.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Need to cut all that for liability reasons. I understand.
I'll talk to legal.
Okay.
We go to... Oh, Emily's like, no one says anything about this to Allie. And then... Oh, wait. We already did that. Yes. Okay. Emily is drinking wine. And then Spencer's like, why don't you guys just flip a coin?
For a better... See... Who has better... Do that. I don't know what I'm saying. And then Emily's like, I just don't feel like I have the right to ask questions about the baby. I'm like, this is going to be a fun pregnancy and parenthood. If this is already like how stressed you are, that you're like feeling like you're on this uneven footing. Maybe it's just, I don't know, not a good idea. But Emily's really mad someone did this to Emily. And Spencer's like, hey.
No, Emily's really mad someone did it to Allison.
Oh, to Allie. And then Spencer says, hey, they did it to you too. Which is...
But differently.
True. Yeah. I mean, but they did... But it's also like, I don't know. I don't want to like compare their traumas, but Emily did kind of process her initial loss, you know?
Right. And I know that it's drudging it back all up, but like, I think.
And it is horrible. Like, it is violating. It is horrible.
There's just such a physical component to what's going on to Allie that I have a tough time
Yeah, Emily, you can't just say I want you to have the kid because I want to have a baby.
Yeah.
Well, then you might need to have a baby because Allie might not be ready to think about the, like,
I'm going
to
have a baby.
Bodily trauma that Allie has been through in the last season.
Is that Kim Richards? I'm going to have a baby.
I don't know.
No, I don't.
Did you see that I...
I want to travel.
Did you see that I put that picture of Kyle and Kim at the end of our photo dump with their both pointing? Wait, you have to go look. I used that picture at the end of our photo dump. It's the one where they're at the party with Brandy and Kyle's on... Or Brandy's on crutches. And they hide her crutches and they're like so mean. And they're like, why do you keep going to the bathroom, Kim? And they're like, don't talk about my sister.
Brandy.
They like, hate each other. Kyle and Kim are like, I fucking meth. Hate you to each other. And he's just like doing... Sorry, she's doing meth in the bathroom. And Kyle's like, how dare you? Kim... Stop doing meth in the bathroom. Like they're like fighting with each other, but they're like, "Don't you say a word about my sister." And no, they're
Kyle,
both
like,
pointing
half
at her.
Believes it. Kyle's like, okay, "Kim, are you doing?"
Kim's
meth
like,
in
"I'm
the
gonna."
Bathroom?
Kyle's like, "I'm gonna have your back, but like right now, well, we're gonna talk about this in the car, and we're gonna talk about the house too." Anyway, but I put that picture at the end because it's such a good one. Anyway,
so funny.
So Emily is also like, "Hey, I keep thinking about the Mary Drake letter." And, like, you could feel the pain and the regret coming off the page. And I don't ever want to write a letter like that. And it's like...
Don't say that.
That's actually... Can I say something crazy? That's not what would happen, Emily. She's like, I don't want to write a letter like that. No offense, but if Allie doesn't have this kid, you don't have to ever write a letter like
and
that.
And I also am like, that's so shitty to say to Spencer because she's like, I don't want to be like your deadbeat mom.
Right.
Who's full of pain and regret.
She's like,
and
look
loser.
At you. You're a fucking mess. Like, I don't want to do that to my kid. Yeah, exactly.
When I look at you, I see my future, Spencer, and I can't.
I can't handle that. I can't. God bless your mothers. God bless your mothers. Anyway, so then Spencer looks at the door and Mary has taken the note.
So then we go to Lucas's loft and Hannah finds that the comic is missing. And now we're going to the De Laurentiis dungeon and Emily comes in
stop.
And goes, Allie, I want you to have the baby.
And Allie's like, oh, okay, sure. Like, what? Emily walks in. She's like, Allie, I thought about it. I thought long and hard about my decision and I want you to have my baby.
It's literally giving like when you're on vacation and you guys all like... You guys all go to, like, take your showers after the beach, and you come into, like, the living room, and you're like, okay, I decided, like, I want to go to Red's for dinner. Like, that is how Emily's
that is how casually,
decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just
and she's like,
that.
I want a chance to raise a child. It's like, okay, again, Em, you're, like, 24. Like, you got so much time. I know that your eggs were taken. I don't remember if that was all of Emily's eggs. I don't remember.
I mean, she needed a lot of money, though.
But it's not to say that, like, and again, I'm not diminishing fertility struggles. I don't know what Emily's situation is, but I just feel like, is this actually your best chance? You know?
I think we're just, I don't know. It's giving, I want to be close to Allie for the rest of my life.
And Allie says, we don't even know who the father is, which I think is so crucial. The fact that we can even have a conversation without knowing
this
information.
When you guys know this many evil men.
I know. And like, think about the gene pool that we're working with here. Yeah. Like, you do not fucking know. It's very scary. And you don't know if that person's going to come out of the woodwork later and make both of your lives a living hell and decide they want to be involved. Like, you just don't fucking know. You know?
Allie,
I mean, and it's 18 years.
Yeah, Allie says that and is like, yeah, you don't even know the father. And Emily goes, Allie, we know who it isn't. Okay, you guys know a lot of shitty men. And then she's like, just please think about it.
She goes, I don't want that person to win. And Allie goes, okay, that's not a good enough reason for me to have a baby. Like, okay.
We go to the brew and Hannah's calling Spencer to be like, hey, it's missing. This is my favorite thing that Spencer does. And by that, I mean my least favorite. She goes, what do you mean it's missing? Spencer,
well, Spence,
you let people know that we're
like
on a
I
time
said,
crunch all the time. Yeah. It's gone.
Like I said, it's missing. And Spencer goes, okay, just drink a decaf, go back to the loft, and wait for Emily.
Don't have to handle like that. Miss Overcaffeinated, fuck off right now.
So she has another note from Mary, and this one has a key, and so she's going to go somewhere. And then we get an epic Mona moment in this episode. Mona walks up to Hannah at the brew, holds up an iPad in her face and says, what is this? There's a real estate listing for your factory space. The contact is Lucas's office. So it looks like Lucas has listed Hannah's space for the business they went in on together, has listed it without telling her.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah's like, okay, I got to show you something. And then we go to the high school, and at first I thought we were going to see Emily, but no, it's Aria. Aria somehow deduced that she needed to go find locker 214.
I'm like, how the hell did she get to this answer? I will give it to her. That was smart.
And so she goes and she leaves the comic in there, and then she walks away and she like thinks better of it. And she's like,
well, she also hears a noise. And I was like, I don't know. There's a noise, and it's crazy because the noise, I guess, is like there's like a trap door in the back of this locker.
A has actually... is actually in the bottom row of lockers, hanging on the ceiling of the lockers like this, slid it, grabbed the comic, and then hung up the hoodie, okay, and then back down. And it's just holding itself up like itself. This.
First thing I'm doing, though, is I'm like going to the classroom right behind the lockers. Right?
Right, which is exactly why A isn't in that classroom. A is under the lockers.
Which is exactly why A has created a maze of mirrors a la Phantom of the Opera. And that's where A is. Thanks.
Yes. So, oh, and by the way, there's an A hoodie in there now. And Arya's like, oh my God. And it's an extra, extra, extra small.
It fits me like a glove. Actually, literally.
It fits like
but
a glove.
I'll put it through the dryer. So, Mose and Emily. Yeah. Mose and Emily are at the Radley. Emily's just like filling her in on everything, telling her all about the baby. And Mose
Paige, like,
gets up.
And Emily's like, where are you going? I thought you were the only motherfucker in the city who could handle me. And Paige goes, I'm going to get the next round. And probably the one after that.
And then Emily stands up, shakes her hair out, and goes, I'm waiting for it. That green light. I want it. And we're like, okay. And we're in the green light music video. Wait, do you think Margaret, is it Quayle or Quali?
Quali.
Everyone's saying Quayle, by the way. Do you think she hates Taylor Swift or no?
No.
Okay, Pop Apologist, you sound stupid according to Phoebe.
Yeah, they do. It's Quayle. She was just on Good Hang.
Yeah, they just did a whole thing. But also, Margaret Quayle talks like this. She doesn't open her mouth at all, and it drives me insane.
She sounds like Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. I can't stand it.
Wow.
But what, do you think there's any beef?
No.
You just think she was annoyed that they were asking her about Taylor during an interview that was supposed to be about her?
Yeah.
You know what
I'm talking
about,
right? And
also,
I think it's awkward because Jack's not working on this.
Well, I know. That's why people think there's beef.
No, but I'm just like, Taylor doesn't, like, I just think it's like, it would be, I would be annoyed getting asked
also, like,
that question.
It's better for Jack to take a break from Taylor right now.
I agree.
It's not like she's hurting his career. Yeah, he needs to go work with other artists and... Like, so she doesn't have the monopoly on him, but also...
So people understand that he does other stuff.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, no, I don't think they do. And I think that, frankly, again, just like saying Quayle sounds stupid. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So they're gonna drink the night away, Emily and Paige. We go to... Hannah is showing Mona the game in Allie's house. And Mona is immediately, it's love at first sight. It's absolute love at first sight. Mona starts, like, hugging it, like, hearing its heartbeat, like, really enamored with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. She puts her ear up to the game, and she's like, Hannah's like, okay, Caleb already did all that. Like, my man's already handled that. And she's like, okay, Caleb might have been looking, but he didn't know what he was looking for. And I can feel that it's warm here where the batteries are. Hannah goes, ugh, batteries. I thought it ran on bitchiness. Hannah Marin classic. And Mona's like, yeah, well, there are batteries here, but it's also like mechanical. And basically the deal is it was sealed when it was created. She does like some research later, but she's like, you have to finish this game before the batteries die. That is the only way to do this.
And she also says, I wish I could have built this. And she like goes to like reach down. She's like feeling the sides of it. And like a little like knife swipes out and she goes, ooh.
She's
touching.
Delighted. She's like, woo! She literally is like obsessed.
It's literally like someone like tickled her. And
I know. She,
like,
yes, she's like, it's genius. She goes, oh, it's beautiful. Think about the mind that conceived something like this. She starts taking pictures. I was like, are these for her personal collection or for research? I don't care.
The same thing. So back at the Radley.
Dude, they're having scotch.
It doesn't even look like an old fashioned. It looks like bourbon.
Yeah, they're having scotch for the most deranged conversation we've seen yet, where Emily's like, why can't we be a throuple? Paige, just say yes.
Thank you. Paige is leaning back and she goes, it looks like Iowa just got a new assistant coach.
And Emily's and like, no, we can try and make this work, the three of us. The three of
you,
us.
Me,
you, me,
and Allie.
And Allie. Oh my God, it's like my dream come true. I'm like, can you imagine? I'm like, Emily, did you for 1 second think Allie or Moe's was going to like buy into this?
Also, it's like if I'm Paige, I'm on my first flight to Des Moines right now.
I'm like, why the fuck did I believe this would be different for 1 second? Like, I'm not a Moe's apologist, but in this moment, I'm like, if I'm Paige, I'm like, God, and you're never doing this to me again, Emily.
I liked some of what Paige said in this scene. She says, the first thing she says is, like, after Emily goes, I have to see this through. Like, I have to do this. And Paige goes, of course you do. That's what makes you Emily. I thought that was really sweet. And it is, like...
Yeah, they share one last kiss, and like most fans,
I've said goodbye to you three times.
I'm not doing it again. Yeah, she's like, I won't do it again. So it is kind of that moment for Emily where it's like, okay, like you need, but it is just, I just feel like Moe's is low key just been Emily's like toy. Like she just like played fucking games with her for so. Who's in the room? Ah!
Hello, Gil.
Hi, Gil.
And so it was.
Sing to him. Sing. Sing. Sing to him.
Sing, Mom. Sing.
What the fuck? So Spencer's going into the Lost Woods Motel. Another question I had, same with Aria, just knowing that was the locker number. Like, how did...
Well, I think we didn't see the note that Mary wrote. Yeah, I'm sure that it was on there. But she's there and she's going to be waiting to meet Mary, I guess. And I'm like, can we find a light?
Well, like, there's a flashlight.
That's not good enough for me.
No, I mean, I'm just turning the light switch on, I think. Yeah. I think it's probably how I'm handling this one.
So at Ezra's loft, Aria comes home and she's like, hey, what's this?
There's a packed bag by the door. And Ezra's writing a note. I'm like, you weren't even going to like face to face say bye. You weren't going to call her. You're writing a fucking note, you coward. So he's like, sorry. Nicole's parents want me to go to Maine. He's like, okay, well, we're going to talk about that, you fucking weirdo. He's like, they need someone to talk to a doctor. And they trust me. And Aria's like, so call the doctor. And he's like, oh, it's easier this way. She goes, oh, it's easier to just pack a bag and get on a plane and rent a car on the other side. Like, do you honestly believe that her parents can't handle it? And she says, what happens when we're married? And this I thought was crazy because I'm just trying to get through today. And it almost seemed like he was like, Aria, I don't know if we're fucking getting married. Like, I can't even think about that. I'm trying to get through right now. I don't know if we're getting married. Like, that's how it felt.
Yeah. He's being terrible to her in this scene. And
he's like, you're putting me in the middle. And she's like, no, I love you are in the middle, but I did not put you there, which is a great line.
And he says to her, look, Aria, what Nicole went through is the
worst thing in the world.
And she came back and her whole world was different. That's not fair. And she goes, none of this is fair.
No. And she's like, you actually have no idea what I've been going through, what I've sacrificed for you, what I've done for you. And it's like, yeah, has he even asked? Like, so what's been up while I was just MIA? Like, what's going on with my fucking business? What's going on with my fish and my plants that I had you taking care of?
Literally.
You know what I mean? He doesn't even ask. And I do think it's like, obviously what Nicole went through is a horrible thing, probably one of the worst things in the world that you could go through, and we don't know the details, and I don't want to minimize that. But has Aria not also, like, to say that
she's
to somebody who has been through what Aria has
been
through.
Through it, Ezra. So like,
and some of the things that you've actually put her
it's
through,
it's just a little
Ezra,
insensitive. Like,
it's
just
deeply
a little
insensitive.
And she's like, you have an opportunity to make things better here, right now. And he still leaves.
Well, and what's crazy is it's all about him. He goes, well, this is about an opportunity for me to be able to look myself in the mirror. It's like, okay, more about you. It's not about, like, how can I help Nicole? How can I help Aria? How can I live with myself? That's what he's actually getting at. And it's like, okay, so just so we're all clear, the motives are selfish. Got it. And then he leaves. Well, she says, then stay and make things right here now. And instead of doing that, he leaves and slams the door.
We go to Allie's house, and this is the scariest scene of the entire show so far. Allie's sleeping on her couch, aerial shot. And then we have a shot as though it's POV, you're Allison, when you wake up and you're looking at the ceiling. Paige is standing over you.
Yes, Paige is standing over you and goes, I knocked. The door was open. You should watch that. why are we giving this like random creepy moment for Moe's right
especially when they're actually about
off.
To have a really productive like, kind of nice scene.
What really is the point of this? Because that is an incredibly weird thing for her
for
to be doing.
For one commercial break.
If she's not actually being creepy.
For
this
one
makes
commercial
the whole
break,
thing, yeah.
The writers wanted the people to think,
us to be
oh
on
my
the
gosh,
edge
maybe
of our
Paige
seats.
Is 80.
Yeah, it's crazy. But also, this is the Gladys moment with Gladys
when she's literally
weapons.
On the ceiling.
Guys, I actually can't stop thinking about Weapons and how much I liked it and how much I want to see it again. And I really do think, just like gonna throw this out there, I think that trunk scene is one of the most effective scary movie scenes I've seen in a very long time. Like, it's so well done. Like the way that like. It's not because it's not a jump scare, you know, it's like, you know, what's coming basically. And just the framing of it, like just
but
having.
But you're so kind of confused because you think she's going to kill.
Yeah.
Her.
You're like, who exactly? It's like
you don't
it
really
ends
know
up.
What. And then you're
so
like,
your
wait,
body
why
is like
that?
So fucking scared because you hear and you're assuming the worst. Mm-hmm. And then when that doesn't happen, it is such a.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Good
again,
fucking horror scene, I think. Like, anyway, I keep thinking about it. Like,
it's
it really
fire.
Is great. Anyway.
At the Lost Woods Resort, Spencer is waiting for Mary and Floozy comes in. And she's like, you followed me? And he's like, yeah. And I waited 58
he's
minutes
like, I'm
outside.
A freaking cop. I'm a cop. It's what I do. It's what I'm a cop. It's what I do. I'm Detective Floozy. It's what I do. Did you like the Hamilton edit I sent you, by the way, with Jenny
yes,
Blair and Freedom?
Yes, that was
you guys
so
sent that
awesome.
To me, Anthony. Anthony goes, do you like this? And at first, so guys,
you find out
edit.
It's Anthony's Gossip Girl account. He's been,
he's been making
them.
It's
when
this edit.
This video. This was so patent coded. It was like my little sister just figured out how to use CapCut right as I go through my white coat ceremony. And it's like an edit of her sister on stage, like probably made in the seat of the auditorium, like walking across the stage to get her thing. And it's like University of Georgia School of Pharmacy ceremony. It's like her like walking back and forth with her white coat like
oh my
so
god
funny.
I love it.
It's so patent coded to be like
so patent coded my girl
with her font on her phone.
She just had her first sleepover at someone else's house. I know. And like Caitlin sent us a picture and they were all in like matching PJs and she looked so happy. It was so cute. I know, it was adorable. Goodness. But wait, well, I was just going to say something about...
The edit.
It's to the song, If You Had to Choose. Jefferson or Burr. It's that song. And they're showing... It's Blair is Jefferson and Serena is Burr. And they keep, like, flashing to them. And then they show Jenny. And they're like, the people are asking to hear my voice. It's Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton.
And it's Jenny. And I was like, oh, not Jenny. And then it goes, if you were to ask who I would promote... Jefferson has my vote.
Sentences no one in my bloodline has ever said before. Jenny Humphrey is Alexander Hamilton.
Absolutely. And then Jenny Humphrey chooses Jefferson, which is Blair Waldorf, because what does it say? Jefferson
has
beliefs.
Burr
has none. And like, if that ain't the truth, Blair has beliefs. Serena has none. Can't wait to get into it with you guys.
Gonna be good. So Spencer's, yeah, Floozy comes in and he's like, Spence, the jig is basically up. Every theory leads back to you and your little friends. And by the way, did you know that Rollins actually ate at the bar or drank at the bar the same night that we did?
God, this is
like,
so
no.
crazy. Like, what an insane.
Mostly,
mess
yes, Spencer,
up
you better
Spencer.
Shut up for the rest of the fucking series.
No, literally. Because
this is a massive blunder.
This is perhaps the largest blunder. And the real bummer here is like right now, nobody's looking at Hannah, but we all know you'll throw
it
her
all
under
falls
the fucking
on her
bus.
Shoulders.
Like, we all know she's the one who actually slammed
and she's
on
gonna
the
let
gas.
You.
Yeah.
She's going to put herself there because she's going to be like, okay, we're all going to tell the truth together.
Right. And she's going to say, how can I protect the group if that means putting myself out there? I'll do it. That's just the type of bitch Hannah
is. Spencer was so horned up that night.
Absolutely.
That she botched it.
She completely botched it. So she paid for her drinks and Floozy's drinks with his card, which we did.
But she signed it.
Spencer Hastings. And Floozy has not only gotten the credit card statement, so he knows that like that card was used that night on the night that he allegedly died.
And
Spencer told him she was burying a body when she met him. But he's getting the paper receipts from the hotel too, so he's gonna see what name fucking signed that, and like that's the nail in her coffin.
Let me guess, this mistake that Spencer made is gonna fall on Hannah's shoulders in more than one way, because she's now gonna go to Hannah, I bet, and be like, "Hey, we need to get into your mom's office,
yeah,
so we can
find
the receipts.
Do this whole thing again." So then Spencer's like, "So can I leave then?" And it's like, "Okay." And Spencer walks on. He goes, "I can't stop you," and she leaves.
Spencer's like, "I mean, if we're not gonna like make use of the motel, then I'm probably just gonna get out of here."
Yeah, I'm just gonna hit the road. So Allie is sitting with Mose in the house now, and all that creepy lead up was for naught, because we are just having a nice conversation, and she's for some reason like saying goodbye to Allie and saying it's time for her to leave Rosewood and whatever. But she does say, "I need to know one thing before I go. Do you love Emily?" And Allie goes, "I'm the last person you should ask about love. I was terrible." Or Mose goes, "Well, you were kind of a terrible person." She goes, "I was terrible.
No,
sometimes
wait,
I still am." That's why Paige says,
"Right, you were kind of a terrible person. Sorry,
you did terrible.
A person who sometimes did terrible things."
Yeah, and Allie's like, no. Say how
I was terrible.
"I was terrible. Sometimes I still am. That's why you can't ask me that." Okay, I've been killing it. Like, but I have to make these crazy faces when I do it. It's the only way to generate the accurate noises. So Allie is like,
"I don't want to tell the truth. People don't like the truth.
I mean,
it's
she is
slippery.
Resisting it with everything
in her.
You
can't depend on it." And Paige goes, "Just try." Paige is all of us, though. She's like, "Look, I can't leave Rosewood without knowing if there is
something weird going on here. Is Emerson happening or not?" Like, she's got to know. And so Allie finally says, "Well, I know how I feel when she looks at me. I never felt that with anyone before. It's like she sees who you really are. Maybe that's the scariest part. You look at her. You look at her eyes and... you want to be worth the effort. You want to be the person she sees. Worthy of her. You want to be the person she sees." And Mose says, "Thanks for the water." Okay, I guess we're satisfied with that response. So yeah, I'd say Emerson's kind of happening.
And no, but Emily or Allie goes, "I didn't answer your question." And Paige says, "You didn't lie to me either. The old Allie may have just to get me out the door."
And then the craziest line says, of all,
"You're going to have a beautiful baby." It's Emily's.
Mose, you don't know that.
It could be Lucas and Emily's.
It could be horrifying looking. We don't know what's coming out of there. We don't know who all is involved in the creation
it
of this monster.
It could be like the baby from American Horror Story.
That's
Murder
all
I'm, House.
Exactly what's going. It could be like freaking Renesmee. You ever seen Renesmee? You don't want to. If you haven't, you don't want to.
Literally.
Anyway.
So we go to Lucas's loft. Mona is explaining the game to Hannah and how it all works. And she's like, "The thing has been sealed. So basically, like, when the game is over, the thing dies with the game." And
we have this
Hannah
amazing,
asks if like maybe
amazing
it could have
moment
been made by Lucas, and she's like, "No, but it's not computers. They're electronic components, but at its heart, it's mechanical. It was lovingly homemade. There's poetry in that."
Yeah, she's
Mona.
So she thinks it's so.
Suddenly, we're
she's
watching
talking
her.
About it like it's
we're watching the movie Her.
Or is she talking about like it's like Alan Turing and the whatever? What is that? Enigma, what is it called? The Benedict Cumberbatch movie.
The
Turing.
Imitation Game?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's talking about it like yes. It's like that. Anyway, Hannah, we have this amazing moment. She goes, "Okay, I need you to help me play this game and win." And Mona goes, "Why me?" Hey, Mona, why do you think? Hey, Mona, are you really going to bore us with this fucking question?
You're waxing poetry about this
thing.
Yeah,
why do you think? Because you're obsessed. And she goes, "Because you're not afraid of it.
You can't ask me to do that."
Yeah, she goes, "Well, you're not afraid." And Mona goes, "The reason I'm not afraid of it is because you don't see a little Mona at that starting line." And I'm like, "Mona, admit it, you feel left out.
Admit it,
you're pissed to be excluded." And she goes, "Playing with people's lives like this, it's an addiction. You're not dealing with a healthy person, you're dealing with an addict." And then Hannah goes, "So imagine how you'll feel when you beat it."
Hannah.
She literally like hands her the bottle of liquor basically in this moment.
Absolutely. She's like, "Okay, and how good are you gonna feel when you finish that?"
She's
and then
like,
never drink again.
Yeah, exactly. "And after this, I will help you stay on the sober train. But for now, let's drink, bitch." Like, that's the vibe here.
So at the airport, we're seeing Ezra
fucking
and his
crazy
flight, like, looks delayed or canceled or whatever. And he sees Spencer at the airport having a fight with someone we can't see in this moment.
By the way, guys, this airport. The Pittsburgh International Airport is much larger than this, so must.
Yeah,
must.
Philly.
Yeah, this can't be it. Or are they in Philly?
Well, they're from Rosewood.
Well, Rosewood's a fictional town, so.
Yeah, but it's closest to Philly.
Okay, but for this fall, we're claiming Rosewood as Pittsburgh.
I just like want to be true to the show.
I don't care. Oh, Phoebe, what if we ever cared about that? Half of our show is like stuff we made up for fun.
But it's all true.
I guess. Okay, fine, I guess. All right, so we're at the airport. Spencer's the buzz cut boy.
And Ezra wasn't going to approach. And I'm like, why is Ezra acting weird? Like,
I know.
Why is Ezra like, I don't want to see
Spencer? Because Ezra's like, honestly, I don't want to have a conversation with Spencer. I'm halfway out the door on these girls. I'm never going to see them again. I'm going to live with Nicole. Like, I'm out.
And Spencer goes, Ezra, come here. You've never met my almost brother-in-law.
Ren. My almost lover too, Ren Kingston.
Does a little wink.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just here to hang out with him during his layover from hell. It's like, that's not a thing people do, but okay. You had to go through security for that, Spence. Where's your
Spencer's
boarding pass,
rich as can be.
Spence? And also, like, I'm pretty sure I just saw Spence. So. So she goes, hey, like, have a drink with us. And Ezra declines. And then she has to chase Ezra down.
Ezra's still being an asshole, like, the whole time.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's just his new thing now, I guess. She goes, hey, I have to ask a favor. I haven't seen Ren since before Cece was killed. And, like, he helped her sneak into Radley. And I just wanted to see if he would remember anything. Can you just, like, keep this between us? Because I don't want Detective Fury to find out about this. And I guess Ezra agrees.
Mm-hmm. Back at Allie's house, Emily runs in. She's like, Allie, where are you?
She's like, Allie, babe, where's the baby? Where's the baby? How's the baby? Oh, she puts her hands on Allie's tummy. Oh, thank God. Okay. Okay. She's kicking.
Allie's like, she's still just a couple cells. No legs yet.
Allie's like, don't touch me.
Emily's like, wait, then that is not normal what I'm feeling. What?
Allie's like,
if
oh my God, Allie. Kicking. Allie, you're starving. Allie, you are starving. What is in there? Anyway. Allie's thought about it.
Allie's like, fine, Emily. If this means you will stop fucking asking me, I'll have the baby.
She's like, fine. I mean, I guess it's not that big of a deal. I'll just have the baby. And she's not sure if she can do it, but Emily is going to help her, and they're going to do it together, and they have a big old hug on the floor moment.
At the loft, Ezra's loft, Aria is making coffee. She turns around. We see Ezra came home, and she's like, well, I guess you're going to have to get to sleep because your flight's still tomorrow, right?
Yeah, you're still out of here, right? Because I have plans for this place. I was ready for some alone time. And she's like, look, I'm sorry for what I said earlier. And then she's like, I'm sorry for how it came out, but I'm not really sorry for what I said. I'm just afraid of this all falling apart. And he's like, no, you know what? I fucking needed to hear that. And my flight wasn't canceled. I just didn't get on it. And then her phone starts ringing and she ignores it. But Aria, I thought I made it very clear. We don't send Aria a voicemail.
And she'll pay for that.
I'm sure. I'm sure she's not the only one.
At the barn, I'm like, okay, this is the moment. Spencer, you're like, okay, toxic. Okay, toxic much. Because Mary's note to Spencer, her final note is, you brought the police. I understand. Goodbye.
Spencer might as well take the wine bottle and smash it over her head. She's like, yeah! She's like, why am I such a slut, Spencer? Stupid, stupid slut, slut.
And then our A scene is just A coding the Aria deepfake, I guess. Just doing some touch-ups, trying to make it look a little worse or better.
She has Aria say, I warned you over and over again. And A is, A changes the face. When I call, you answer. I need you faithful and devoted or else. And she holds up Aria's folder and starts this insane maniacal laugh with the folder. And that is the end of the episode. Oh my God, what an ep. Things are getting crazy, you guys. I can feel it. I can really feel it. All right, Phoebe, why don't you read us our synopsis for next week?
The synopsis for season 7, episode 16, The Glove That Rocked the Cradle. The Liars close ranks to protect one of their own as Detective Fury closes in on uncovering what happened to Archer Dunhill. Also, Hannah struggles with the idea that Lucas might be connected to AD even in the face of additional evidence.
I didn't know that was the end of what you were reading. All right, guys. So that is next week. So as a reminder, we have this episode today. You've got 2 more weeks of your regularly scheduled recap. So you'll have episode 16 next week. You'll have episode 17 the following week.
Feel like the end of the school year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then we go into every other. So after episode 17, you'll get a punch bowl. Then we'll go back to 18. And that's how it's going to work until we get to the finale. And then even after the finale, there's more. Make sure you are tuned in for all the excitement on Labor Day. We have lots of fun things. Obviously, the Halloween merch. If you are going to sign up for a Caroline Ghost Tour, please let me know that you're coming. I want to make sure I bring enough of our special stickers to give you. And just so you all know, the October 4th one, Phoebe will be there. So if you want to meet us both, that would be a great time to come. Please leave us a 5-star review. It helps us out so much, so much, so much. Listen to our Patreon episode from this past week. If you're missing a Big Brother episode or a Big Brother update on Tuesday's podcast, we talk all about the life of a showgirl on Tuesday. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out. It's a great conversation. We also talk a lot about weapons, which we touched on in this episode. And this upcoming weekend on Patreon for the Dream Rotation, we have a Pretty Little Punch Bowl. These punch bowls are different than the ones that are going to be going on streaming. So if you want all the possible punch bowls, you're going to want to join the Dream Rotation tier as well. And then next week on the Patreon, we will have a pilot recap. Let us know what you'd like to see. Hope you all had an amazing first week back to school. If you started this week, if you didn't start because you're not in school anymore, that fucking sucks. I feel your pain. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.